The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads just for a moment and say a prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray for the light of your Holy Spirit. Anoint our ears, our minds, our hearts. Please speak to us, dear Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst." Now, this is an incredible promise given us to us by Jesus, but we must understand first what it means and then go from there. It does not mean what some people think it means, that wherever two Christians are gathered in some place doing anything, whatever, that Jesus is automatically there. The name Jesus means Savior. So when people come together, we must be seeking what Jesus wants for us, that's salvation. The second part means coming together. The Lord Jesus Christ came here on earth to establish a loving family, a church. And when he sent the apostles out, he sent them in pairs of two. So he wants us to do things together. Because some people will read this, where two or three are gathered in my name. Oh, I guess I don't need to go to church. No, no, no. Some people, St. Peter said, they could twist the scripture to their own destruction. Now, in this reading here today, our Lord talks about binding, about listening, listening to the church. If you refuse to listen to them, tell the church. All of us, by virtue of our baptism, we're bound to follow the laws of Christ and his church. Just as anyone, if you have an Illinois and Iowa license, you're bound. If you drinking and drive, whenever you lose that privilege of driving. We are Catholics, we're baptized at the Church of Christ, we're bound by certain laws. Just like anyone here on the face of the earth is bound by the laws of gravity, laws of physics, and things such as that. So we're bound to different laws as Catholics. If a person is baptized as a Catholic, they're bound, if they want to have a blessed marriage by God, to be married in the Catholic Church. We're bound when we come to Lent, Fridays of Lent, to fast and to offer up sacrifices on Friday. We're bound to that. Children, they're bound when their parents say, "Well, I want you home at a certain time, or I want you to do this," like they're bound to that. An employer, when they ask employers, "Okay, you do this," or whatever the job description, that employee is bound by that. And the Pope, when the Pope says, "I want on Fridays that we give up meat," we're bound to that. And interesting, in St. Faustina's diary, something was really encouraging when I read this early in my priesthood, about the priests in confessional, especially, that when we give a different penance and stuff, that the person is bound by it. And she says here, "Jesus defends whatever the priest says and often complies with his wishes, and sometimes makes his own relationship with the soul depend on the priest's advice or his words." Another way the soul is bound by it. Now, in today's world, okay, there's different laws and things like that, laws of the universe, laws and families that must be followed. If they're not, bad things happen if we transgress God's law because we're living outside of His love. And St. Paul mentions some of these laws here in his letter to the Romans. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And then he goes on. Because if you're not living by what God wants you to, bound by those laws, you jeopardize your eternal salvation. Now, Pope Benedict XVI, in his book, Light of the World, had an interesting statement at the beginning talking about laws and punishments. He said, something has developed in the last several decades where people disconnect obeying laws and love. So listen to this. He said, the awareness that punishment can be an act of love ceases to exist in many parts of the world and cultures. This leads to an odd darkening of the mind, even in very good people. He said, a component of truth is that I must punish the one who has sinned against real love. A parent, when they're raising their children, there's certain rules in the home. If the children don't follow that, the parents have to discipline the child. Otherwise, the child will become wild, and even to the point of transgressing the laws at home, transgressing God's laws, and jeopardize their eternal salvation. See, our Lord here, then, he goes on to fraternal correction here in the Gospel. And our Holy Father says, in today's world, a lot of people just don't want to do it for several reasons. First, we're living in a culture that thinks the greatest value is to be nice. That if you ever attempt to correct someone, that you're judging them. What there is objective truth. There is objective truth. There is objective right and wrong. And if we don't follow what's right, we jeopardize our salvation. And he said the second reason why Jesus' teaching of fraternal correction is challenging today is because some who misunderstand what it really means have given it a bad name. They look at his teaching as a license for ripping other people apart. The type of people such as chronic complainers, the incessant naggers, and those who really can't say anything nice about others, but who uses the faith as a weapon to tear down others and not to build themselves up. Now all of us here, by virtue of our baptism, by virtue of our confirmation being here, we're called to follow Christ, but also to be instruments to help others towards heaven, which is our final goal. So here's some things typed up here on my sheet. If we know that someone is living in a sinful relationship, whether heterosexual or homosexual, the Lord wants us to be His voice calling them gently and lovingly to conversion. If we know someone is addicted to drugs or alcohol, the Lord wants us to intervene. If someone's missing Mass on Sundays, the Lord is calling us to act. If we know that, especially children, if they're cheating or stealing or cursing, setting a bad example, the Lord wants us to speak up. However, there's a few rules with this. First, we need to pray for the person first before correcting them, so that we could do it with charity, God's anointing. And second, something we often forget in today's world, make sacrifices. So say you're a parent, you have a child in high school, and he's running with the wrong crowd, and he won't listen to you at all. First, you need to pray. Then second, offer up some sacrifices. Then, act at a time and a manner that's deemed most appropriate. For example, Father Joseph Mary from EWTN, who was here yesterday, Father Bear and I, we were talking for about an hour in the rectory. And he was telling us a lot of wonderful things about St. Francis of Assisi, some things that I wasn't aware of. And he said that St. Francis had such a great love for the Blessed Sacrament, and that everywhere that he traveled, he showed the greatest reverence. In all those letters that he'd written to people, somewhere in the letter would be some reference to the Eucharist. And when he would go to the church, if he saw the priest was neglecting proper care of the linens and the corporals, which was sloppy, he would correct them, but he would do it prayerfully. He'd be fasting, and then he would talk to the priest privately, not blast them out loud. He'd say, Father, you know, I noticed the linens there are kind of dirty, and I see fragments of the host there. But he was doing that in a way like that. So anytime that we're called to correct someone, especially children, grandchildren, or perhaps you're an employer, those three things need to be present. Otherwise, it may look like we're just trying to win a point. We're not trying to win a point, we're trying to win a soul for the kingdom of heaven. And when I read this first reading here, this is what I'm going to ask for your prayers. It says, I have appointed you watchmen for the house of Israel. The bishop is the watchman for the diocese. the Pope for the world, and the pastors for the parishes. And it says this, O wicked one, if you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from this way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. As a priest, as a pastor, as a shepherd, when I read those words, like, whoa. So if the priest never talks about sin and its reality and its consequences, we're in trouble. But also, too, God wants you to speak up. So if you know people who are living in an invalid marriage, if they're shacking up, say some words to them, fraternally, with prayer that they come back. If you know someone who's leading a life of addiction, or someone that's leading a path that they never go to church, speak up. Something to me, but prayerfully and charitably, so their souls are saved. And reading about this, you know, in today's world, marriage is so much under attack. Where homosexuality is just promoted nowadays as something normal. It's like, whoa, it's an abomination. And Father Barry was telling me he's seen this movement afoot with polygamy that's starting to get a grasp, a hold as being accepted in some circles and growing. So this is really scary. So if no one speaks up, no one does correction or points to the gospel, souls could be lost. So today when we receive communion, we ask the Lord, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Help me to see what's wrong in my life, that someone may speak up and tell me so I'm corrected. And there's other people in my life, loved ones, if they're endangering their salvation, give me the courage to speak up to fraternally correct them. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.